For our scripture reading this afternoon, we turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 21, and we will read the whole chapter. John chapter 21, and we will read the whole chapter. Let us hear the word of God as it comes to us in John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Jesus, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Congregation, in this afternoon, our focus is on the instruction, the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to Peter at the end of verse 15, feed my lambs, and 16, feed my sheep, and verse 17, feed my sheep. Dear congregation, in this afternoon we have the special occasion of the installation of an elder. And in Scripture, elders are also called shepherds. And you can wonder, why do we have shepherds? Do we not need just one shepherd? Is there not one good shepherd? And the children know that to belong to that one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the very best thing. Nothing can be compared in the world to belonging to that one good shepherd. And not to belong to him is the worst thing in the world. It's about one shepherd. And yet this afternoon it's about more than one shepherd. About elders also as shepherds. Why do we have elders? What are they to do? What are we to expect them to do? What are we to pray for them? For God to enable them to do? And how may they do it? We find that instruction in the Word of God, in this call that Peter received from the Lord Jesus, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And later on, in 1 Peter 5, he would pass on that call to elders. When he said, the elders which are among you I exhort, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Our theme is Christ's call to shepherd his sheep. Christ's call to shepherd his sheep. First, the task. Second, the equipping. And third, the blessing. The task, the equipping, and the blessing in Christ's call to shepherd his sheep. What a calling this is, because the ones to be shepherded are the ones whom Christ calls my lambs, my sheep, my sheep. Every time there's that same one little word, my. And that's what makes it so special. Sometimes we talk about our congregation and my church, but that's not how Christ talks. He doesn't say, feed your sheep and feed your flock. He says, feed my sheep. He does not call them mine because they are so special. They are so special because he calls them mine. Who are these sheep? In a certain sense, God spoke of all Israel as his flock. He led Israel through the wilderness like a flock. He speaks of that visible gathered church today also as his flock, whether you're saved or lost sheep. As we heard this morning, he sets his mark upon us also in baptism, in which he says, you are to belong to me, you belong to me. And yet in the deepest sense, my sheep are the ones described in John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. He says, my sheep, they know me. And then he goes on to say, in verse 26 to the Jews, "Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands." In that deepest sense, my sheep are the ones who are in the hand of Christ. They belong to him, and no one's able to pluck them out of his hand, because God the Father has given them to his Son already in eternity. And Christ has received them as a gift of the Father. And Christ has also purchased them with his own blood. And Christ has also sought them out and gathered them and established that bond with them. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. They're in my hand. They are mine. My lambs, my sheep." Is that what you are this afternoon? There's nothing more amazing. People can become all kinds of things, and other people can look up to them because of what they are. But the greatest thing in the world is to be even a little lamb of this flock. Christ's lamb, Christ's sheep. Feed my sheep, my lambs. When we see what a love Christ has for his sheep, that makes it such a great calling to shepherd those sheep. As office bearers, the whole congregation is entrusted to their care. Because God places his name upon the whole congregation. Here it shows also there's this special care for my sheep. Most important word is my. But notice what he calls them. Lambs and sheep. Two different names. What does that distinction represent? Are the lambs the children and sheep adults? It's true that Christ has his sheep, or you could say his sheep also among children, and that there are children whom he saves and belong to him, and he gives eternal life, and they'll never perish. He also has children as his sheep. Or are these lambs and sheep representing those who are just born again as lambs, and sheep which have been saved for some time already? Is it about how long they have been saved? And that's also true. There are those who are just recently born again, and there are those who have been born again many years ago. Are those lambs and sheep? Again, there's truth to that distinction, isn't there? But as we listen to this charge, "Feed my lambs, my sheep," you notice that there is this unity. It's a repetition three times. And it's said that in the ancient world, when there was a special commission given to someone, they would repeat it three times to show how important and how serious this commission was. And so also we have this threefold commission. There's a certain repetition here, that they're not only he's not only to care for a certain segment of the flock, but he's to care for the whole flock. And first we read them called lambs. And when you hear of lambs, what do you think of? You think of ones who are still weak, don't you? Weak The Lord Jesus speaks of sending out his disciples as lambs in the midst of wolves. And their lambs is a reference to them in their weakness, in the midst of all those wolves that seem so strong. And they seem no match for those wolves because they're only weak lambs. Lambs are weak, and lambs are in need of growing. And while there may be a special emphasis on those who are just saved, who of God's people can say, I am not weak, and I do not need to grow? Who is no longer weak and helpless on his own, God's most experienced children of God can still feel so much like a weak lamb that needs to be carried by the shepherds. In fact, the Lord Jesus, he speaks about becoming as a little child, doesn't he? And that's why Christ says here, feed my lambs. They need to grow. They need to receive strength. And that's through feeding, through giving them what they need in order to grow. That word for feed is just that, to give food. It's used for the prodigal son who was to feed those pigs. And now the Lord Jesus says, feed my lambs. What a calling for elders. To have this desire to see the flock fed. Fed with not just the latest theories, not just opinions and feelings and thoughts of our own, not fed with our own experiences, not just fed with traditions, but fed with the only thing that can feed a lamb, and that's the Word of God. That's the spiritual food. The Lord Jesus, he said, didn't he, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life and they are life-giving, because that's what the Holy Spirit uses to give life. What a calling that is for elders to feed with the Word of God, to give that spiritual guidance out of the Word of God, to speak the Word in season, a Word that is fitting to the condition of this sheep or that sheep, that it may be food for the soul. It's also why the elders have oversight over the preaching, so that that preaching would indeed give food for the soul. Wholesome food, be a preaching of the Word. That's where you can expect congregation elders to direct you to the Word of God as they visit in their your homes, as they speak more informally, maybe after church or another time, that they urge you and direct you to the Word of God, because they know that there is where the food is to be found. Feed. Congregation, has that Word of God become food for our soul? That we've not only heard that word, and we've not only said now and then, oh, that was a good sermon, but has it become food for our souls so that it's become our life? Feed my lambs. If we aren't feeding on the Word of God, how can we say we are a lamb? And if we are feeding, or maybe we fed in the past and we aren't feeding in the same way, then Peter, as that shepherd, he comes to us in 1 Peter 2 and he says, lay aside all that guile and that malice and those other things that come in the way, and as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It's an echo of this morning. Open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The first call is to feed lambs. The second call is to feed my sheep. What are sheep like? We look outside as we drive by the pastures of the Amish and we see those sheep in the pastures, and it looks beautiful, doesn't it? In the spring, the grass is green and they're there and they're feeding in the pastures. Sheep, beautiful. Do you notice something? Do you notice that those sheep are within fences? Because what if there is no fence around those pastures? What would happen? Where would they go? Some of us have had sheep, and you've seen where they go when there's a hole in the fence. They wander away. And in those days in Israel, they didn't have all fences, and so they needed a shepherd to keep them safe. And that's actually the word that's used here the second time. When it says feed, in English, it's the same word, but in Greek, it's a different word. It's a broader word for feed. It's that sense of shepherd them. And to shepherd sheep is broader than just to feed sheep. Because shepherds or sheep need more than just food. They also need protection. They also need guidance. They also need to be restored and to be cared for when they break a bone or when they have a skin disease or something else. Shepherding is much broader. And that's the call also here, to shepherd my sheep. My sheep who are still so prone to wander. My sheep who are still prone to get in trouble. My sheep who are prone to hurt themselves. Or my sheep who are prone to end up on their back, cast, and unable to get back upon their feet. Shepherd, my sheep. What a calling that also is for elders, isn't it? It's a calling to know the flock. Going in and out among them, showing concern for them, seeking to go beyond just the superficial, how are you doing, it's nice weather outside, but deeper. More than just a conversation about generalities relating to the Word of God in church, but further, to know the spiritual condition of the flock, of the individual. To be able to give that specific care. That care that may also involve correcting. It's not easy to correct. We would rather just pat people on the shoulder. But that's also the calling of a shepherd, to correct, to when they see sheep wandering in wrong directions, to seek to bring them back to the shepherd and to give leadership in the congregation. And consistories are to consult with congregation about different things. And yet in the end, the office bearers, the elders, have that responsibility to give leadership as shepherds of the flock. That comes with a calling also for members, doesn't it? Think of Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Feed my lambs. Feed or shepherd my sheep. And then a third time, feed my sheep. And there that word for feed is the same word that's used the first time for the lambs. And it's showing that feeding is the primary calling. It's at the beginning and at the end, showing this is especially to be the concern of shepherds, to feed the flock. If a sheep is famished, even if it's protected from wolves, it'll still die. If a sheep is not eating, even if it's near the shepherd, it will still die. That sheep needs food. And so it is with the church. It's not just a social gathering as long as we're together. It's not just about being within the strong walls of an Orthodox church. It's about feeding. Feeding upon Christ, the only food for a soul that can't find food anywhere else. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That the food for a soul, whether for a newborn lamb or whether for an experienced sheep, it's the same food. It's Christ at the beginning. It's Christ to the very end. There is no other food. Feed my sheep, he says. What a task this is. What a task this is for office bearers, for elders, for pastors. To be shepherds in the midst of the congregation. who is sufficient for these things? We see in our second point, the equipping. The equipping. When you think of equipping of one's call to feed the flock, you can think of 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1. There we find qualifications for an elder. Titus 1 says, if any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Those are all important qualifications, aren't they? But it's striking that when Peter is restored to his office, the Lord Jesus does not come to him and say, Peter, are you qualified to feed my sheep? Are you gifted? Are you just and temperate and loving and holy and blameless? Peter? What could Peter have answered if those were the questions asked him? There was a time in his life when he may have thought, well, yes, I am these things. But after he had fallen so deeply, what could he say about his own blamelessness and holiness and justice and sobriety? He had denied the Lord Jesus. He had failed in so many ways. Who was he to even belong to the Lord Jesus, let alone serve the Lord Jesus in a special way? Can also be in the heart of an office bearer that is being installed or has been installed in the past. Who am I? I feel so disqualified. That's also how a parent can feel in that calling to shepherd their children. I feel so disqualified rather than qualified to that task. It's striking also that the Lord Jesus does not say, Peter, you failed in the past, but do you now promise you will always serve me, you will always be faithful to me, you will never do what you did again. You will be faithful to me unto death. If the Lord Jesus had asked that question, what could Peter have said? There was a time when he thought, yes, that would be easy to answer. I will be faithful. I will never deny thee. I will, I will, I will. But all those I wills had shattered before the temptation that was there, and he had denied the Lord Jesus. And if Peter, the Lord Jesus, had asked, will you be faithful and never deny me and do exactly what I say? What could Peter say? Anyone who knows his own heart may say, I'm so afraid of my own heart, my own weakness. And if I had to fulfill the task God gives me on my own, it'd be impossible. But the Lord Jesus doesn't ask these questions. He asks just one question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? One question. That's all. Do you love me? He goes to the heart because that is what is essential. Because what does love show? Love shows you know the shepherd. You can't love Christ without knowing him. And if you love him, it's because you know him. Because there's a bond with him. A bond which he himself has established. Is that bond there? When God comes, when Christ comes to you, you heard it some weeks ago, that question. Lovest thou me? What is your answer? Question for us all. Question for office bearers. lovest thou me. That's what matters. Can you say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Not as I ought, that's true. But I can't deny that Christ is precious to me. Lovest thou me? And then maybe even as you say it, you feel your love to him is so small. Spurgeon says somewhere, the top of the misery of those who love Christ is that they love so little, though they are so much beloved. And yet there's love. That's essential for serving also this Christ. Whether it be in that general office and calling of all the sheep, or whether it be as a shepherd specifically. And I know the Lord can use unconverted men in the ministry or as elders. The Lord used a Balaam to say wonderful things. But this is what he calls for. Love to him. Because that means then that Peter was not in the first place a shepherd. Peter was in the first place a sheep. A sheep of the great shepherd. And he had come to learn more of that shepherd in the previous weeks than ever. Already before he had confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew that. But in those last weeks, when he had denied the Lord Jesus, and when the Lord Jesus had looked at him with those eyes of compassion and of injured love, there he saw what was in the heart of that shepherd like never before. And when he went out and wept bitterly, he saw more clearly than before what he really was, just how weak he was, how helpless he was, how sinful he was, and how dependent he was on that steadfast love of the shepherd to hold on to him and to not let him go, to pray for him that his faith would not fail. And so that shepherd had become more precious to him. Also when he came to him on the day in which he arose and met him, and we don't read of what went on in that conversation, but we know that the shepherd had met him. And also in that night when the shepherd had opened their understanding together with the other disciples to understand the scriptures that he must suffer and he must rise again, it also led to that deeper knowledge of the shepherd, that it was no longer about Peter and what Peter would do and Peter would be, but it was about the shepherd. Thou knowest that I love thee. And now Peter may be used by this shepherd to feed his sheep. Maybe, Brother Roman, you feel so weak. If the Lord asks you, do you have a strong faith? Do you have a settled assurance? And do you have an ardent love? And do you have an all-consuming zeal? And do you have such a boldness? And do you have such a wisdom? And do you have such a steadfastness? And do you have such a shepherd's heart? And such a... Then what can you say? What can I say? And there's every reason for me to be humbled about my own lack, because there ought to be so much more in me than there is. But when you feel your weakness, where does it bring you? Is it to the shepherd? Because it's not about you. It's about the shepherd. And you, in the first place, being a sheep that is dependent on the shepherd. And maybe he lets you feel those weaknesses and feel that lack, so that you'd be able to stand, sit beside another in all their weakness, in all their lack, and not above them as one who has it all, one who knows it all, one who does it all, but a lamb among other lambs that points to that great shepherd and who he is and who he will be, that in the midst of your folly, it brings you to the shepherd, to teach you, to speak. And that so among others who feel their weakness and their ignorance, you may testify of that shepherd and what he has to say. that in the midst of our waywardness, we would know the shepherd who restores our soul, so that we'd be like those priests of Hebrews 5 who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That in the midst of our sin, we'd loathe and humble ourselves, and so also have a concern when we see sin in others and not be able to just brush it off. And also in the midst of that guilt that there is, we'd learn more of that Lamb of God and who he is as the one who laid down his life for guilty sheep to deliver them, to reconcile them to God, so that we, as ones who are nothing in ourselves and find all grace and receive it all from the shepherd, would be able to go in and out among the flock, not testifying of ourselves, but of this shepherd, as ones who need him as much as anyone else. Isn't that where the Lord Jesus brought Peter? Isn't that how he equipped Peter to be a shepherd, showing who Peter really was? And in that context, showing the more who Christ truly was as a shepherd. And Peter still had much more to learn. After Pentecost, Peter would have a much clearer knowledge of Christ than he did even now. But that doesn't stop the Lord Jesus from already now saying, "Feed my sheep." Because there was that bond with Peter. And that is what would enable, that bond being there means that Christ would continue to minister to Peter and give more grace as he went along. What a calling that is. Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Then he has a task. He has a task for everyone, every sheep that loves him. And it's a task to serve the welfare of his flock in whatever form, whatever way that comes. And love desires to serve. How essential that is in our service. If we serve Christ and his church for other reasons, easily the zeal will dry up. But when it's love, then it continues. There's a time when Martin Luther was so discouraged, and he came before the Lord and he said, "I'm stopping with preaching. It's so hard, and they're not listening, and there's all these troubles in the church. I'm stopping." And the Lord came to him. He said, "Martin Luther, lovest thou me? Go on." You catch it. It's love to Christ that enables to go on whatever trials that may come. Oh, that I may yet serve him through the difficulties, because he must receive honor and his flock must be cared for. To serve him as a sheep of him, ministered unto by him, and blessed by him. Will such service be blessed? Will sheep be fed? We see in our final point, the blessing. Feed my sheep, the Lord Jesus said to Peter. And as you see them there, around that fire in that morning by the sea, you can wonder, where are those sheep? Who is he to feed? What flock? There's just those disciples there. And later we know that there were 500 who saw the Lord Jesus at once, and so there must have been a larger flock than just there around the fire. But where would all those sheep come from? How would they be there for Peter to feed? The shepherd would gather them. Christ had said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice." After all, Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The disciples didn't have to save lost sheep. Christ came to do that. They didn't have to give them spiritual life. The Holy Spirit blesses a word to do that. That's why Peter would later address the flock as those being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He was convinced that the word preached was that seed of regeneration that gave that new life that changed goats into sheep. It's about the great shepherd using his word in the mouth of simple men as they preach and also as they go in and out among the flock. Last week I read about a man, he was a teenager at the time, a teenager named Ari, and he didn't want to go to church anymore. And then there was a home visit, and he didn't want to be there for the home visit, to sit there with those black-suited men. No, no, no. But they came, and he was still there. And they said a few words to him. And he ended up sitting down. And when they left, he slipped out of the house to run after them because he wanted to say more. The Lord used those words. And that man named Ari became a minister, Reverend Elsout's father, who was also a minister. You see God's blessing on his word to work spiritual life. Maybe not just that conversation, but other means as well. But you see, it's the shepherd uses under shepherds. That's the hope. That's the encouragement. And that's also why it's so amazing that the Lord still gives us, as a congregation, under shepherds to care for our souls. Elders, soon we hope to receive another pastor. It's a mercy of the Lord. Must he not still have work to do among us? Must he not have sinners still to save? And isn't that a calling also? If you're still not saved, to hear his voice while he still speaks and calls to himself. Christ is at work gathering sheep, but also feeding them. Sometimes it seems as if God's word bounces off also sheep, also God's people. There's those whose souls refuse to be comforted. And you can come and you can speak words of comfort, but they bounce off. There's those who refuse to be corrected, even though they are his sheep. It can be so discouraging. Where's the blessing? Again, it's this great shepherd who's pleased to use those under-shepherds, elders and pastors and others, in order to bring that word of God and to bring it home, because he knows what his sheep need. Isn't that a call for prayerful dependence on the great shepherd? As office bearers and as a congregation. As office bearers, we are called, aren't we, to be in prayer for the congregation, and that the shepherd himself would use us in the midst of the congregation and use his word in whatever way it comes, whether through us or through other means. What a call also for the congregation, that we would not just look to ministers and not just look to office bearers, but that our eyes would be upon this great shepherd who is pleased to gather and to feed his flock through his word and spirit. This great shepherd who has shed his blood to purchase a flock. Will he not bless it? Will he not bless his word also among us for his own name's sake? So that each one of us, when that question comes, lovest thou me? Our answer would be, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, let me serve thee and follow thee. The Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. Amen.